D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
We are called to remembrance, to remember Him who has blessed this nation and made it great.
The problem with President Obama is that he's totally abused the Constitution. There's a reason why our founders put in separation of powers.
This is Truths That Transform.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported outreach of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Make sure to visit our ministry website, where you can find a very deep library of excellent video, audio, digital, and print resources. It's all available at djameskennedy.org. It might be hard to believe now, but there was a time in America in which people hardly gave any thought at all to the federal government. It simply had nothing to do with their daily lives. That was because government power was constrained, divided, and decentralized. The founders knew that power tends to corrupt. But today, the federal government has overrun its boundaries and is involved in every area of our lives. The divisions between the branches of government are ignored. The principle that states have a say in their own governance is ignored. And freedom is the casualty. What are the implications for Christians in America today? Well, I recently sat down with Dr. Tony Evans, one of America's best-known pastors, to discuss that question. When you look at questions of religious freedom in so many ways, this is a pretty important election, isn't it?
It's very important. When you look at the speed at which the culture is changing, when you look at the redefinitions of some of our most sacred institutions legally, when you look at the division that is keeps boiling up on whether it's race, class, political, and then you look at the worldwide scenario of terrorism and the like, when you coalesce all that together, it's a pretty deep crisis hour in our nation.
We live in a time when some people are using the T word. You know, we have a tyrannical judiciary that's imposing its will on the people without the benefit of, you know, laws being enacted. What's your view about what happened in the marriage case that the Supreme Court ruled on last summer and the impact on not just the culture, but even on the church?
Whenever the judicial branch seeks to overrule God, it's going to be a concern for me and should be a concern for any Christian, since marriage is a divine institution. It's succumbing to the pressure of the culture and that which has become more and more acceptable. But I did feel like it overstepped its bounds because it took it out of the hands of the people broadly. And so that was unfortunate. Now, the problem is, from a theological point of view, Romans 1 says that when you give approval to that which is outside the will of God, you have incurred the greatest of God's wrath. So we're in a position now to experience what I call the passive wrath of God. It says three times, He turned them over, He turned them over, He turned them over. He released them to the consequences of their choices. And so we've been now released. And apart from a spiritual invasion of heaven, we're in some really tough days ahead, because once God removes Himself, you know, a scripture I regularly use in this regard is 2 Chronicles 15, 3-6. In those days, there was no true God, no teaching priest, no law. Citizen rose up against citizen. Nation rose up against nation. City rose up against city. And then it says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. When God is your problem, only God is your solution.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard you speak on this before, but are we looking at a time when Christians are going to have to decide about civil disobedience because of this very thing of a government that is now sanctioning that which God judges?
Well, I think we're at that point. Churches are going to have to take a stand because that's the next goal, is to force the church to acquiesce. Yeah. So rather than waiting until we are forced, we need to take our stand now. We need to be proactive, not merely reactive. And that means we're going to have to say that this is God's standards, and you know, this is as far as we go, no further. So we're actually at that point of choosing God over Caesar.
Do you see an application of the parable when Jesus talked about the servants who said, "We will not have this man to rule over us"? Isn't that really what it's all about? Are we going to? Is the King of Glory going to rule over us in every area of our life? Is He sovereign over all of our lives, or is He sovereign just over our spiritual side of our lives?
We have been so culturized as Christians and so secularized as Christians that Jesus Christ has been given this religious category
space.
over here.
Yeah.
And that's His space, and we want to make sure He's honored in that space. But over the rest of life, He kind of comes and goes as is convenient and as is necessary. He's a great spare tire in case life goes flat. But in terms of us rolling all the way, all the time under His rule, and we call that the kingdom agenda, the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life, the individual life, the family, the church, and government, because God says He's the God of government.
Francis Schaeffer, 30 years ago, said there was a window of opportunity that had opened for the gospel. That window won't stay open forever. Are we at that place yet? Is that window going to close on us to where the church will only be able to be the church under the most fiery persecution imaginable?
I think we're from what I can see, we're on the edge. The speed at which all of this is happening is not just happening, it's happening at warp speed. And a lot of this is uncontrollable speed. You take social media and all the things that are happening at speed. So it is it's a runaway train. So unless there is a radical invasion by God. A radical invasion. That's why the solemn assemblies were called throughout Scripture. Something radical is needed from heaven to history. Unless there's a radical movement, I see no other option taking place than the one you just described. So our job is to get radical with God. It's God's job to respond to that as He chooses.
In these days when ungodly values are being adopted and enforced by government fiat at seemingly light speed, it's never been more important that we turn to God. The Lord not only brings righteousness, He brings liberty and peace. A nation founded on Christian principles led to tremendous freedom, and a nation turning away from God sees that freedom disappearing. My friend, Dr. D. James Kennedy, shares the prescription for this disease in this portion of his message, A Nation Whose God is the Lord.
I'm sure we're all aware of the fact that America has many serious problems. They include an epidemic of drugs, alcoholism rampant, abortion, perversion of every kind, sexual promiscuity, STDs, terrorism threatening our lives, films and televisions that promote every kind of wickedness imaginable, and a press that does not seem capable to manage to come down on the moral side of almost any issue. After all, when you consider that long litany of problems that I mentioned, if you, and by the way, many I didn't mention, but if you were to boil them all down, you probably would discover, if you thought about it, there's only one. What is the problem with America? It is sin. All those things were sin. And what is the solution? What is it that can, what solvent can take away that blotch on the escutcheon of American life and honor? Only one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overriding power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with the assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture that that nation only is blessed whose God is the Lord. And so in all of this, again, we are called to remembrance, to remember Him who has blessed this nation and made it great, that we be not as those in Lincoln's day of whom he said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become all too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Dear friends, if that was true in Lincoln's day, how vastly more true is it in our day, when you consider how much farther this nation has sunk into sin and immorality and ungodliness. I want you to understand that the decline from the great spiritual heritage that we had was brought about by people. People who cared enough in their wickedness to want to tear down the Christian foundations of this country. Are there people who care enough for them that they want to build them up? There is the divine and biblical prescription where God says that if I should close heaven and send no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, did you notice the pronouns? I. These were not chance occurrences. These were not accidences. These were not happenstances. These were the direct acts of a sovereign God who was displeased, at the time of that by the ungodliness of his people. And therefore, he acted. The seculars cannot understand that. It would all be chance. But God makes it clear, if I do this, then, he says, if, now he's referring to us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. We need to remember that, as Lincoln said, we have become all too proud by our continuing success. We need to humble ourselves and confess our own sins and our own worthiness and repent of those sins. Then, he says, they will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, if you have a beloved you love to see their face, to tell them of your love, in the case of God, of our adoration, to praise him for all that he is and he has done for us. If we will do these things, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Dear friends, what we are engaged in now could go on and could get worse for years. Or it can be changed if God will see that right here there are godly men and women who are doing just what he said. Will you be one of those people?
When America was cognizant of her Christian roots, freedom abounded. Only in a nation with a strong Christian presence would a president like Abraham Lincoln publicly acknowledge that pride leads to God's judgment. Lincoln urged humility and seeking the face of God. Today, the presidency could hardly be considered an office of humility. Instead, for decades now, the executive branch has functioned as a sort of king, lording the will of the president over the people. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Big government has to get bigger to survive. And it has to take over every aspect that challenges its illegitimate authority.
This president has spent nearly 8 years tearing down the values held by our founding fathers, the Judeo-Christian values, and creating through chaos, removing those values and supplanting his own secular socialist values.
We have a situation now where the rule of law is deteriorating in the United States from the very top level, from the White House. This has a trickle-down effect.
If there's one doctrine the founding fathers of America seem to agree upon, it's one revealed in the Bible and proven by all of history, that man is a sinner. Therefore, power was to be separated into three distinct branches of government. As James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, once put it, all men having power ought to be distrusted.
Every school child knows there are three branches of government. It was one of the great wonders of our founding fathers to have that checks and balances. For the last 7 years, we've had an administration in Washington that believes the three branches of government are the president, his pen, and his telephone.
I've got a pen, and I've got a phone. And I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
He famously said not long ago, i.e. that if I can't get the other branches to agree to what I want to do, I will merely use my pen. I'll write orders ordering the country to do various things, or I'll pick up the telephone and order bureaucrats to insist on certain things.
Consider for a moment a few examples of executive overreach by this administration. Congress voted against the DREAM Act, but the president has been bypassing Congress. This has sent signals to thousands south of the border who are uprooting themselves and their families to try to get a chance at the American dream, even at the risk of their lives.
President Obama has been pursuing a program of demographic, if you will, fundamental transformation of the United States. This is not simply the Muslim migration here, but it's obviously the millions of illegal immigrants who've come across the southern border from places in Latin America and Central America.
While Congress has rejected cap and trade and all other measures to fight global warming because they would have no significant impact on the global temperature but would cost hundreds of billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of jobs, the Obama administration is using EPA regulation, the so-called Clean Power Plan, to force states to do it anyway.
So the president now issues executive orders. He's got these supposed independent agencies taking over and pursuing political agendas, whether it's destroying the coal industry because of ideological reasons, raging a jihad against the coal industry, not to mention oil and gas.
An egregious example of government overreach can be seen in the IRS scandal, which left the headlines long ago, but this issue was never really resolved. One could only wonder how the media would have reacted had this been a conservative administration.
Well, the IRS scandal is one of the worst in American history. Here you have the most feared agency of government because it goes right into your own financial records down to the minutest detail, using their powers to crush political opposition in this country, like it's a third world country.
And then there's the matter of Obamacare, which everyone should remember was not going to pass until the president promised that Obamacare would not cover abortion. But despite the promise, part of the HHS mandate within Obamacare forced employers to pay for contraceptives, including four types of abortion-inducing drugs. This ran afoul of the conscience of many Christian employers.
Look, the HHS mandates are not about health care. They're about religious freedom. For the government to decide which parts of the First Amendment are going to be applicable and which parts aren't, and which parts they're going to respect and which parts they're not going to respect, is not religious freedom.
It's a shame that despite the Hobby Lobby ruling, despite what the First Amendment clearly says, that we have a tyrannical administration that would force a group of nuns to engage in behavior and to support and pay for something that is abhorrent to them, the murder of precious little babies.
Critics note that what is needed in this country, particularly as seen in example after example of executive overreach, is a respect for the rule of law and a return to governing under the Constitution.
Well, the problem with President Obama is that he's totally abused the Constitution. There's a reason why our founders put in separation of powers. They didn't trust anyone. They distrusted emotions, and they knew they had the great mystery of governance, which is you want a government strong enough to secure your borders, strong enough to have internal order, but not too strong so it can oppress the people.
We have to work aggressively to shrink this size of the state and this philosophy and ideology of statism and move us back to being one nation under God, in which we have the freedom to exercise our religion. Because the future of our country, as Ronald Reagan said, as we ever cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under.
When presidents think they have a mandate to fundamentally transform America, our liberties are at great risk. And this election cycle is raising even more concerns in that direction. The constitutional boundaries of government and the threat to freedom that comes when they're disregarded has been almost completely ignored by the major party's presumptive nominees. These are troubling times in America, and we've reached a watershed. My friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy is here to share two resources to help you in this important time of choosing. Jennifer, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. When we look around to see how things have changed in our nation, even just in the past 10 years, it seems like we live in a country gone mad. An avowed socialist candidate makes a serious run for president. Department store chains open their ladies' rooms to men who identify as female. And the government sues Christian employers who refuse to pay for abortion-causing contraceptives. How did we get here? And more importantly, how can we get back? Dr. Frank Wright answers these questions in his powerful new book, The Road Back to Sanity, Finding Our Way Home from Cultural Delusion. This is a book every Christian who's concerned about the state of our nation needs to read. Frank takes an incisive look at four major roadways in our cultural journey where sanity needs to be restored: the so-called separation of church and state, executive overreach, socialism, and gender identity. We also have a powerful two-DVD or two-CD series called Wake Up America, featuring two of my father's most impactful messages. And we'll send them to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online at djameskennedy.org. This month marks the end of our fiscal year, and we need your help to meet our financial obligations and to produce four vital new television specials for this election year on the four topics of The Road Back to Sanity. America desperately needs a biblical perspective on these huge issues before it heads to the polls in November. So please, consider giving a generous gift to help us make these full-length specials on executive overreach, the so-called separation of church and state, socialism, and gender identity. Take a stand for truth and for the future freedom of your children and grandchildren. Some of you can give $50. Others can give $100 or $1,000. For a limited time, any gift you give right now will be essentially doubled thanks to some generous partners who've established the $150,000 matching challenge. So contact us right away to have your greatest impact, and we'll thank you by sending you Frank Wright's new book, The Road Back to Sanity, as well as the two DVD or two CD series from my dad called Wake Up America. Simply write to us at Box 6084, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007. Or call toll free 877-962-7677. Or go online at djameskennedy.org.
Perhaps no nation in history has been freer than ancient Israel. Ruled with perfect justice by God alone, they had commandments that led to flourishing and to liberty. But because of rebellion in the land, one of the judgments God visited upon Israel was giving them the human king they demanded. This king, God promised, would conscript their children, take their property for the king's own use, and confiscate 10% of their first fruits. America also began in freedom. The founders built a free nation based on limited government and self-regulation. But Americans as a people have rebelled, exchanging true freedom for the counterfeit freedom promised by sexual promiscuity, gender confusion, and government handouts. And like ancient Israel, we now have a government that acts as king over us, taking our property at will, and forcing our compliance with the sexual revolution. Perhaps the worst part is that, like ancient Israel, this judgment has come at our own request. In America, the system we have essentially grants us the government we choose. If there were strong Christians in every area of government, standing up for liberty and constitutional order, things might look quite different. Time is now short, and freedom lost is rarely regained. The need of the day is for Christians, informed by the Bible, guided by the Holy Spirit, and courageous for the truth, who will enter the halls of government, from the local school board to the U.S. Capitol, and say, "No more." What about you? Will you be a Christian who capitulates to the spirit of the age, or one like Daniel, who will stand for God and truth, no matter what the cost? The very future of America may depend on your answer to that question. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Before the state, before the church, God created the oldest institution on this planet, and that is the institution of marriage.
After the Supreme Court same-sex marriage decision, and in light of the sexual orientation gender identity ordinances, pastors frankly are fearful.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.